I'm going to be real honest with you. I did not want to preach this message today. I didn't want to write this message. I didn't want to deliver this message because you know what happens oftentimes to the messenger? The messenger gets shot. I don't want to get shot. I like having the number of holes that I have in my body. And although I have had AK-47s pointed at me multiple times in my life in different countries of the world, I choose to not have any more holes in my body than the Lord wants me to have. And so I don't want to get shot today, but you know what? More than that, I want to be obedient to God. So I'm going to preach a word to you that I did not want to preach, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to do it out of obedience. But I believe that the Spirit of God did something today in worship that prepared our hearts and the seedbed of our hearts for this particular word. Now, this word is going to be really strongly for the Christian that's out there. But for those of you that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior yet, I hope that you'll listen with a heart to hear what we Christians ought to be all about, what we're supposed to be, that there is a standard. And if you're used to being around people that have not met the standard, you know, people that don't know Jesus know the standard of what a Christian should be more than a lot of Christians know what the standard is. And I'm so glad that you hold us to that standard because we need to be the express image of Jesus, the reflection of God himself to the world around us. A great youth pastor that I've learned so much from used to say it this way, that Christians are meant to be Jesus with skin on. Amen. To the world around us. And I believe that with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I hope that you'll buckle your Holy Ghost seatbelt and that you'll join us as we get into the Word of God. If you'd like a title for your message that you're going to take notes on, either from our website with a PDF or right there in our app, or an old-fashioned pen and paper or whatever, I hope that you'll take notes. If you'd like a title for your message, the title is this: What Are You Living For? What are you living for? And I'm going to be talking about purpose today. You know, purpose is something that has been kind of a catch word or a catch phrase, if you will. What is your purpose in this life? What is your purpose all about? What is your 40 days of purpose or whatever? It's been a catch word in our society for quite some time now. But so many people struggle with their purpose. Have you ever wondered about what the purpose of your life is? Like maybe you're thinking there's got to be more to life than this. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, is this all there is? Or is there more? Because I feel like there's more, but I don't know how to tap into that. I don't know how to grab a hold of and find out what my purpose, the thing that will fulfill me, is. Have you ever felt unfulfilled in your life, even though you might be phenomenally blessed? Maybe you're really rich. Maybe you're super famous. Maybe you've got everything that you could ever want in life, but you still feel like there's got to be more to life than this. You feel unfulfilled. Maybe you're more blessed than everyone else around you, and everybody wants to be you, but they don't know the struggle that you go on with in your life on the inside. You know, it's probably an issue of purpose. So today I want to talk to you through the Word of God, the Bible. That's the only book that I preach out of. And I want to preach to you out of the Word of God about your purpose and how to find that, and not only how to find it, but how to live it. And I'm going to share a very simple idea with you today that many of us, even those of us that have been Christians for a long time, are probably going to want to argue against in our mind. See, that's the first thing that happens, is that we put up our defenses and we're like, no, I don't believe that. I can't believe that. I want to ask you, first, that's why I didn't want to preach this message. But I want to ask you if you would do this with me. If you would, and let us all allow God's word to guide us and to set the pattern for our life and for our thinking. So in other words, you might feel like you want to fight against it, but I'm going to ask you to hold on to that and not fight against it, but just receive it. The Bible says that you should receive it with all readiness of heart and then go and study the scriptures and study it out to see whether or not these things are so. Now, if I'm wrong, then I welcome you in a spirit of meekness and humility to come and let me know that I was wrong, or to ask me about this particular scripture or that particular scripture. What do we do with this? What do we do with that? I welcome that, absolutely. But first, would you please open your heart? Would you please open your mind? Would you please listen to the scriptures that I'm going to give you today and allow it to wash over you? And then go back and study your Bible and make sure that I'm preaching the truth. All right, you guys ready? By the way, I do also want to say that this is not going to be an exhaustive teaching. So let the internal conflict that you feel today drive you to the Word of God. Don't let it drive you away from God's presence. Don't let it drive you away from me thinking I'm preaching heresy, but let it drive you, let that conflict drive you to learn. Can you say amen to that? All right, here we go. I'm going to have to lay this out in kind of a specific way, so I hope that you're ready. I want to talk to you, first of all, about beginning to understand spiritual things. You know, a lot of times we don't really understand spiritual things. The Bible says that different apostles wanted to speak to us as unto spiritual things, but they couldn't because we couldn't understand it. But I want to give you a little preview about how to begin to understand some spiritual things. And it's actually a lot more simple than you think it is. Firstly, you've got to know that we can understand spiritual things by looking at the natural world in some ways. Now, I know that some of you are already going to fight against that because it's like, no, spiritual things are spiritual things. But the Bible says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Was the Word of God spiritual or was it natural? Well, it was spiritual, but it framed the entire world. But listen to this scripture. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 46, let's start here. It says this, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. So in other words, things that are around us that are natural, they give rise to our understanding in the things that are spiritual. I want to give you a further insight into that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20 says it this way. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Listen to that real quick. God has shown it to us. That means that it's visible. It's able to be seen. It is manifest. That word manifested means to be uncovered. So God uncovered it so we could see it. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his spiritual parts, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What that scripture simply means is this, is that everyone in the world around us can look at the things that God made because he put himself in that creation, and we can begin to understand our great God. It's not as complicated as you might think. Some people get so Holy Ghost toasty, they're just floating around out there like clouds, and you can't understand what they're doing. You can't understand nothing about them because they are so spiritual. You know, Albert Einstein said an interesting statement. He said this, unless you can understand and explain something to a six-year-old, you don't really understand it. Some people that are so spiritual that they can't put it into natural, practical terms in a way that you can understand it, they're really not understanding spiritual things at all. They're just quoting things that they heard once upon a time. But when you hear something like what Kelly shared today, all it is simply hearing, believing, trusting, and doing. Hey, any six-year-old can do that. If you can hear what your parent says, you can trust them and you can obey them, then you can do it. Reward is coming. It's a blessing. It's not difficult to understand. It sounds tricky, but it's not. It's very, very simple. So let me give you a couple of things that you can understand real quick. So in the Bible, the physical condition of this disease called leprosy is often viewed as the physical type of sin. How is it that people look at it like that? Well, leprosy is an interesting condition. It's actually a disease of the nervous system, and it affects the way that you're able to feel. It is very contagious. So think about it in terms of sin. See, we talked about people having a seared conscience, right? And when you cannot feel anymore, that's what happens when you have a seared conscience. And leprosy and sin are very similar in that sense, where you begin to lose feeling in your body. You begin to lose sensation in your spirit about the things that are right and wrong and the things that hurt you or the things that bless you. Leprosy is extremely contagious. And you know what? So is sin. It also causes, leprosy causes parts of the body to lose blood flow because it loses sensation, and those parts of the body begin to die. You know what? When we've got sin in our life, it cuts off the blood flow of the blood of Jesus in our life in many ways. And we begin to slowly die. If you don't know this, when you cut a limb off of a tree, even though it's still got bright green leaves on it, that branch is already dead. Yeah. Why? Because it's cut off from the source. It's cut off from the source of life. And when we're separated from Jesus, see, that's what sin does, is that sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus had to come back to repair that breach and to create a bridge for us to be able to walk across the payment of Jesus Christ to be able to get back into right relationship with God the Father. So when our lives have sin in them, it cuts us off from the life flow of Jesus and we begin to die. The Bible says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the final thing that I want to say about leprosy is that leprosy, if you've ever been around someone with the condition of leprosy in their life, it has the smell of death and decay all around them. You know, when we have that sin condition in our life is not taking on life. It begins to smell. It begins to stink. Our life and even our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we have habitual sin in our life that we're not really trying to get rid of, it starts to decay our life and our life no longer smells well to the people around us. So leprosy in the Bible is a type and a shadow of what sin is in the spiritual realm. It's a natural representation of the spiritual. So here's another thing. Physically speaking, when the body does something different than the head, so talking about our physical body, when our body is doing something different than the head, which happens to be our Lord, right? Jesus is the head of the church. When the body is doing something different than what the head is directing it to do, it can be something spiritually similar to a medical condition called cerebral palsy. Now, I'm not picking on anybody that has that condition. I believe for that condition to be healed in Jesus' name. But it could be something as extreme as a stroke. Now, my grandfather had a stroke in his body, and it paralyzed his body. And even though his head was probably trying to send signals to his body to move this part or to do this or to do that, it became impossible because the body wasn't listening to the head. See, in our spiritual body of the church, we've got to listen to Jesus Christ. See, I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And if we don't listen to Jesus Christ, the head, we're going to end up being spastic. We're going to end up being paralyzed. We're going to end up not being able to do what the body is meant to do in the world around us. So here's the thing, is that each of us is a part of the same body, the body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the head. But I've got to tell you this, that the body does not have a different purpose than the head. See, all of this that I've been talking about, I had to get to this point to understand that if we're part of the body of Jesus Christ, and we are, then the body does not have a different purpose than the head. Same purpose. So the question is, and I'm so glad that you're asking it, what is the purpose of the head? Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so glad that you asked that question. You know, Jesus had a purpose statement. Whether you read your Bible or not, you got to read this scripture today and understand that Jesus himself had a purpose statement. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, I know it was Jesus speaking because Jesus always speaks in red in my Bible. So Jesus spoke this in red and he said this in Luke 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You mean Jesus' purpose statement wasn't more involved than that? No. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. By the way, I just want to say I'm so glad that he found me. You know, people say, I found Jesus. Hey, look, you weren't looking for Jesus. Jesus found you. He found you. He was seeking and saving that which was lost. You know, if you're out there and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you right now that Jesus is on the lookout for you. He's coming after you in a good way to help you, to find you. The Bible says it's like one sheep that has gone astray. If he's got a flock of 100 sheep and one goes astray, Jesus will leave the 99 to go and find the one. My friend, Jesus is coming after you in the best way possible to retrieve you, because sheep don't have much protection at all. And he's trying to save your life. So Jesus came to seek and to save that was lost. In fact, you might say it this way: Jesus's singular purpose on this earth was and still is to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, when you have a purpose, your purpose doesn't change from when you're in elementary school to when you're a teenager to when you're married to when you're retired. Your purpose does not change. Your purpose is singular for your entire life. And Jesus's purpose, past, present, and future, was always this: to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I guess I could say it this way: for oneself as an individual, because you're probably trying to tune into that radio station, right? WIIFM. It's that station called What's In It For Me. And that station is so important because I want to tell you what's in it for you. For you, salvation is as good as it gets. Amen. What do you mean, Pastor Jake? My life was terrible. I got saved and it got better. No, but salvation is as good as it gets. Let me explain. Nothing can be added to improve upon salvation. In other words, once you're saved, you are completely saved. You are totally saved. Your spirit can't get any more saved than it is right now if you're born again. You can't add to it. You can't put garlic salt. You can't put pepper. You can't put shoyu. You can't put nothing on it to make it any better than salvation is right out of the box. It is as good as it's ever going to get the moment that you got saved. And that's so important for you to know, because it's going to spur some questions in your heart. Because the question that most people are going to ask then is that after I get saved, after I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, after I become a child of God, then what's the point of me trying to get my life cleaned up, to get my life any better, to get my life to be more like Jesus's life? What's the point of that if it's not going to get any better than the moment that I got saved? I am so glad that you asked that question, because I've got a great answer for you. The reason why we tune up our life, the reason why we continue to change, the reason why we become more and more like Jesus, the reason why we work at it and we don't stop and we don't just try to get to heaven smelling like hell, the reason why we do that is this: so that, number one, so our character is not a stumbling block to those that are trying to get to Jesus. You can find this in your Bible. The Bible tells us to don't be a stumbling block to people coming to Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that if we prohibit people from coming to Jesus, it would be better that we hang a very heavy stone around our neck and jump into the ocean and drown and die. That's why we change, so that we're not a stumbling block to the people around us. So you might ask, Pastor Jake, have you ever been a stumbling block to people coming to Jesus? Oh, you bet I have. You bet that my character was a stumbling block to people coming to Jesus. That's why I changed. That's why I continue to change. That's why I am aggressively after change in my life still till today. And I will continue to be that way until the day that I move on to the other part of glory. We don't want to be a stumbling block to other people. Here's the other reason why we change to be more like Jesus, even if salvation is complete on the day that we receive Jesus Christ. Here it is: so that we can let our light so shine before men that they will see our, listen to this, our good works and glorify our God who is in heaven. See, if I wasn't here anymore, if God just took me out right when I got saved, no one would be able to see my good works so that it could point the way to Jesus. It would be like driving around. I've talked about it before. It would be like driving around with no signs on the road, and you have no idea where you're going. There's no GPS. There's no trees that you can use as landmarks. There's no nothing. You have no idea where you're going. You're just driving down this road, hoping to get to the right spot. The problem is that the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yeah. So I would rather have signposts along the way. People like me that are going to say, hey, this is the way to Jesus. How come you're like that, Pastor Jake? How could you be so nice to that person that was so mean to you? Well, I wouldn't have been a few years ago. But Jesus changed me. And you know what? He can change you too. He can change you to be more like Jesus. You can be a signpost pointing the way to Jesus. That's why we need to continue to change if it ain't our time to be taken out yet. I want to talk to you about why you're still here today. I want to talk to you about even if you are saved and born again, gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, why hasn't Jesus taken you out yet? Because he knows the plans that he has for you, and you have a purpose to serve on this earth. So once we're born again, my friend, this is where we're going to start to get into all kinds of things where you're going to want to fight against me. You're going to want to disagree with me. You're going to want to disagree with the Bible, but you're going to be wrong. And this is what the Bible said. When we get born again, we have one thing to live for. We have one thing to live for. What is that one thing? Oh, man, you just have the best questions today. What is that one thing that we're living for, Pastor Jake? I'm so glad that you asked. Because I want to talk to you about that one thing that we're living for. See, when we organize and put together our services, if you will, we don't do it by planning it out piece by piece by piece and joining it all together and making sure that all of the songs fit my message. Because, like, I didn't finish my message until later on in this week. I knew it was brewing in my heart, but it wasn't all put together yet. But the worship team had to practice. And then I didn't talk to Kelly about what she was going to minister about today because I don't want to know. And you might think, well, that's really poor stewardship of your services because they should be perfectly fit together, Pastor Jake. And they should all, you know, jive one with another and everything. But here's the thing is that if I can't believe the Holy Spirit to be able to do that, then I've got a control problem. You know what I mean? Like, then I'm in control. I don't want to be in control. You don't want me driving this ship. You want the Holy Spirit in control. So when you hear this message, if you'll hear it from the perspective of, holy smokes, the songs that were played in worship today, that was like amazingly in sync with the message. We didn't talk about that. And the message that Kelly shared and about the evangelism fund and all of that stuff, you're going to be blown away by the end of this message about how God put it together when we didn't even talk about it. And you just have to take my word that I'm not a liar. I don't want to be a liar because liars don't go to heaven. That's what the Bible says. There are no liars in heaven. So I'm telling you the truth that we don't come together and say, what song should we play? And what message should you preach? And what are you going to preach? We don't do that. We say, Holy Spirit, independently of one another, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? And then we run with that. And we trust that he's going to make it all fit together. You're going to be blown away in just a little bit. I want to talk to you about that one thing. You know, this might be a controversial statement to you, so just take it for what it's worth and then go explore it. But every one of us has an identical purpose after receiving salvation personally. Let me say that again because most of you don't believe me right now. Every one of us has an identical purpose, identical, invariably identical purpose after receiving salvation personally. You know what it is? It's this thing called the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, and don't fight me too hard, just listen for a while and let me explain this to you. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go for that reason and make disciples. Now listen, this is not in the text, but I want to highlight this word right here. Go and make disciples. You know what it doesn't say? It doesn't say go and make money. It doesn't say go and make Instagram followers. It doesn't say go make a comfortable life. It doesn't say go make yourself look good in the eyes of everybody around you. It doesn't say any of that. It says go make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And look, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know how you can make sure that Jesus is always going to be with you? Go wherever he goes. See, if I want my wife to be with me, here's a good way of explaining things. See, the physical is a mirror of the spiritual. If I want to make sure that my wife is with me, you know how I do it? I go with her. I'm like, where are you going today, honey? She's like, oh, I'm going to the chiropractor. Sweet, I'm going to go with you. That's how I can make sure that she's always with me, is if I'm always with her. So how do you make sure that you're always with Jesus? Here's how you do it. Wherever Jesus is going, go with him. The Bible says, and God working with them. See, how is God working with them? Because you're with him. A lot of people say it this way, and maybe they don't say it out of their mouth, but this is the heart that they live with. Is God, I'm going to do this. Come with me and bless it. Like God is a genie in a bottle that we can ask him to just bless our plans and whatever we're going to do, and we're just adding a little bit of Jesus to it. It's like, you know, Emerald's essence, for those of you that used to watch cooking shows, is like, bam! You want Jesus to be the bam on your plans. But Jesus ain't the bam on your plans. He's the planner. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the head. We are the body. Wherever the head goes, the body follows, not the other way around. He's the Lord. He's the one that says jump, and we say how high, not us tell him to jump, and he says, how high do you want me to jump for you? See, Jesus is the head. That's what it means for him to be the Lord of our life. As he leads, we follow. Amen? It's go and make disciples. You want to make sure that Jesus is with you? I'm going to tell you how you do it. Do what Jesus said to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. After receiving salvation, every one of us has only one thing valuable to live for. You can't possibly say that, Pastor Jake. You mean I can't live for being married? You mean I can't live for my kids? I can't live for having children? I can't live to be rich? I can't. Not if you're going to believe Scripture. The Bible says the only thing that we have valuable to live for after we've received salvation is this one thing: giving salvation to others. Giving salvation to others. I want to say it this way, that becoming rich doesn't benefit our eternity. It only affects our current ability. Becoming famous doesn't make us any more saved or holy. It only gives us a bigger platform by which to preach this good news. What good news? That Jesus saves. Being generous and doing humanitarian works, that's only valuable to the extent that we have those things point to and make a way to point to Jesus Christ. They're not good in and of itself. They're only good for the sense that we get to point the way to Jesus. Why are you doing this? Because Jesus said to. That's why. Having your dream home and having your dream car won't carry over into eternity. We all know that. You can't take anything with you. You can't leave it behind. The pharaohs of old tried. If you don't believe me, try it. Look at what the pharaohs did. They loaded not only wealth and riches and passage to the afterlife, but they put their family in the tomb with them. Their servants, their slaves, buried them all with them because they needed them in the afterlife. You know where they all are? Still in the tomb. All the money was still in the tomb until robbers took it. All the bones are still in the tomb. All the people were still in the tomb. You cannot take it with you. So your dream home and your dream car and all that stuff, it's not going to go with you. So why do we chase after that stuff so hard? Well, Pastor Jake, you might want to be poor, but I don't want to be poor. And look, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be poor. That's not why I chose to serve Jesus. I didn't take a vow of poverty. But Jesus told me this in the Bible. He said, it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. Wait a minute. So you're talking about not getting wealth, but getting wealth. Yeah, it's a matter of purpose. The purpose changes everything. You see, if Moses, some of you are familiar with the story, if Abraham, if you take purpose out of the equation, all you're left with is that Abraham wanted to murder his teenage kid. That's all you're left with. And I can totally understand that. But when you put the purpose in there and understand that Abraham was giving his very best, he was sacrificing his future, he was giving every plan and purpose that he had in his heart to surrender it to God so that it was God that raised Isaac back from the dead, or that God would raise up another plan, then you can understand that it was way more about purpose than it was about just wanting to murder his teenage son. See, purpose changes everything. But Pastor Jake, aren't we all unique? Aren't we? I mean, you talk about all the time that everybody has a thumbprint or a fingerprint that is unique in all the world. Your tongue print is unique in all the world. Your eye print is unique in all the world. Aren't we unique, Pastor Jake? You don't know me. I want to be unique. I don't want to be the same as everybody else. All right. Here's the thing. Every Christian individual has exactly the same purpose, but expresses that in a different way. In other words, God didn't call us to be robots. I have cells that are all a part of this same body, and the purpose of this body is to stay alive. And every one of them executes that purpose in a different way. My excretory system works together in conjunction to excrete what needs to be excreted. My integumentary system works together so that I have a solid system to protect me. Every cell in my body is working towards the same purpose, which is to keep me alive so that I can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But every cell executes that differently. My brain cells from my heart cells, and my heart cells from my elbow cells. You know what I mean? It's important that you understand that all of us have the same purpose because we're all part of the same body. We all have the same head who has one purpose, but we all express it differently. You know, you get to see my skin cells. You don't get to see my kidney cells. But that doesn't mean that my kidney cells are not as important as my skin cells. Some are more visible than others. Some they seem like they do a bigger job, but the Bible says the ones that don't seem like they do a big job, you have to heap more honor upon them. Can I just tell you that your kidney cells may not get much glory by the way that you look because you don't put makeup on it and show it to the world, but thank God for your kidneys. They are so important because if your kidneys don't work, your body is not going to survive for very long. And I'm praying for a friend of mine that's got kidneys that need to work in the name of Jesus. See, every Christian individual has exactly the same purpose. See, you are an individual. You are unique. You have a purpose. You have a plan. You have a destiny. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. There's only one son, and we're all conformed to that image. But guess what? We all express it in a different way. So here's where the nitty-gritty comes in and where the rubber meets the proverbial road. Many of us have written out a purpose statement for our life. I know a lot of the leaders that are here in this room, you've gone through exercises with us and you've written out a purpose statement for your life. And a great resource to get started in a purpose statement is this book called The On Purpose Person. And it's written by a guy named Kevin McCarthy. I think they're going to put it up there on the screen for you right there. If you want to get it, it's available on like Kindle and Amazon and used on ABC, ABE Books and all kinds of places. You can find it. We can help you to go through it. But many of us have written out a purpose statement for our life. A purpose statement is very easy. It is something that is a very short, concise, clear statement about this one thing: why I exist. So our purpose statement is written in this form: I exist, blank, and it's a one sentence statement. In this church, you may not even know the purpose of this church, but hopefully you've been paying attention to the screens before the service. And it says this: our purpose at the Ark Christian Church, we exist so that we can serve by showing the way. Yeah. See, to the glory of God, we exist to serve by showing the way. By the way, the way, the truth, and the life, his name is Jesus. Yeah. See, our purpose in this church is the Great Commission, and it is to show people the way to Jesus Christ himself, Amen. The author and the finisher of their faith, the only one that can save their soul. For you personally, you might have a purpose statement written out and it says, I exist, blank. Well, Pastor Jake, what's your purpose statement? Well, I'm so glad that you asked that. Because I do have a purpose statement for my life. And I compared it to this sermon. My purpose statement is that I exist to build the body of Christ through the local church and churches around the world. See, the avenue of the church is simply meant to bring people to Jesus Christ. My goal, my purpose for existence is to bring people through to Jesus Christ through the local and international church. That's what I'm supposed to do. See, and I didn't even preach this message yet, but God knew. So he put it on my heart. So you might have this purpose statement written out for yourself. And I know if some of you might be watching the time, just if you've got to go, you've got to go. But come back and finish this message because it'll change your world. I promise you. Our purpose statement is very simple. It's why I exist. But I want to challenge you today, Christian especially, to change your purpose statement to read this. Rather than simply writing, I exist to blank, here's what I want you to write. I want to challenge you to write that I exist to seek and to save the lost through or by blank. Amen. See, because your purpose is might not be what your purpose is that you wrote down. Because does your purpose take you to seeking and saving the lost? Because if it doesn't, that's not your purpose. And that's why you're still unfulfilled, even though you know your purpose statement. See, our purpose for our life, every one of us, is to seek and to save the lost. How you do that is going to be unique and different. I want to point you to a scripture that'll help me to make my point. Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8 says this, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. What does that have to do with anything, Pastor Jake? Here's where it is. This scripture just really means, as it says, as you go, preach, it just means this. Wherever you go and whatever you find yourself doing in life after salvation, the only thing that matters is that as you do it, preach the kingdom and lead people to Jesus. So what you're doing might be that you work in a cosmetic store. And just because you work in a cosmetic store, it doesn't mean that you cannot be and fulfill the purpose of seeking and saving the lost. But as you cosmetic, as you cosmetology, as you whatever, as you paint people's faces, I mean, bring people to Jesus. I mean, you can just tell him he'll give you beauty for ashes. He makes all things beautiful. Even you. You know what I mean? I'm just joking. Beauty might be skin deep, but some people got some thin skin. You know what I'm talking about. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Some people more fearfully than wonderfully. This is where makeup comes in. Hey, look, you can have fun in church. Pastor Jake, you're so mean. Hey, laughter doeth good like a medicine. I'm helping you out here today. Go ahead and laugh about it. It is important. Whatever you do, well, I'm an engineer, Pastor Jake. I'm not a full-time minister. No, you are a full-time minister who happens to be an engineer. See, people have gotten this whole thing twisted up and they're like, well, I'm a marketplace minister. Well, that's true, but your goal is to seek and to save that which is lost. Many people who find themselves saying that they are a marketplace minister, what they say is, or what their internals is doing on the inside of them is saying, my goal is to make a lot of money. And if I happen to talk about Jesus, that makes me a minister. No, you got to inside out and back ass words, you know? It's wrong. You need to turn that around and we are first a minister. And whatever we do, that's what we do. It's not about what you do, it's about who you are. And who you are is always and will always be more important than what you do in this life. Amen. See, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, whether I'm shooting guns, whether I'm jumping out of airplanes, whether I'm riding motorcycles, whether I'm out doing yard work and doing construction or whatever it is that I'm doing, the first thing that I am is a child of the living God whose job and whose position is to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. and all that other stuff, it's just what I'm doing at the moment. Yeah. But my purpose is to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. My friend, I want to challenge you to rewrite your purpose statement, that I exist to seek and to save that which is lost, because you already know that. The rest is somewhat inconsequential, because you can do that at McDonald's. You can do that at the tire shop. You can do that in an engineering firm. You can do that as an entrepreneur. You can do that, but make sure that you exist to seek and to save that which is lost. I want to say it this way, that when we have a singular purpose, when we have a singular purpose, all else becomes a tool to fulfill that purpose. What does that look like? That means that when I make a lot of money, I'm not making a lot of money for the purpose of making a lot of money to make a comfortable life. I'm making a lot of money because it helps me to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, I tried to go and work for the airlines, and I asked the Lord, God, can I work for the airlines? And here's why I wanted to do it. Because I wanted to be able to travel for free all over the world to minister, because some countries can't afford to pay my way. But God said no. He's like, make your church pay for it. So our church gives into the evangelism fund so I can seek and save that which is lost and perform my purpose on this earth to build the local church and the church around the world so that the lost can come to Jesus. See? That was the whole reason why I wanted to do it. I didn't just want travel benefits. I wanted travel with benefits that I get to bring the lost to Jesus all over the world. And I wanted to do it on the cheap because I'm paqué. For those of you that don't live in Hawaii and you have no idea what paqué is, you can try look it up. I don't think it's in the Urban Dictionary. It just means frugal. In the nicest sense of the word, it is frugal. I'm frugal, and I wanted to be frugal with the kingdom of God. So when we have a singular purpose, our big house and our beautiful car that God gave to us supernaturally is not for the purpose of having that and enjoying that. It is for the purpose of being able to tell people, you know how I got this? His name is Jesus. Amen. And what I did was I entered into a contract and a covenant with him. What I did was that every time that I had increase, I gave him 10%. Amen. And then I went beyond, what, 10%? Yeah, the IRS wants like 40. So I thought, oh, good deal. So I started giving God 10% of everything, all of my increase. And then I started to decide that what I was going to do was I was going to give an offering beside that. What, you gave more than 10%? Yeah, totally. Because God said that 10% was already his, so it was never mine. But what I wanted to do was I wanted to make sure that I gave God as much as I had to, which is 10%, but I wanted to match that, and I wanted to give him the same amount because I wanted to. What? You started giving 20% to the church? No, I started giving 20% to the Lord. And then I thought that other people would want this wonderful gospel, and I thought that I could help to propel the gospel forward, so I started giving in this thing called evangelism, and you know what happened? My family started coming to Jesus, and my friends started coming to Jesus, and then God saw that he could trust me with all the finances that were coming in, because I always returned the 10% to him, and then I was a giver beyond that, and I gave above and beyond that, and I gave in alms to help the widows and the orphans and the poor, and you know what God did? He brought increase to my life, and you know when he did that, that's how I ended up with this house. That's how I ended up with this car. Let me tell you the miracle. You understand what I'm talking about? When we have a singular purpose, everything that we do becomes a tool to facilitate that purpose. Everything that we are facilitates that purpose. The tools that we have of intellect and entrepreneurialism and of relationship building and contacts and all of that. Why? Because we want to bring glory, and we want to bring the lost to be found. Yes. My friend, if you get it backwards, if you get it inside out, if your priorities are upside down, just like our food pyramid is upside down, you can research it. Our food pyramid released by the United States is actually upside down and needs to go like this. And if you eat that way, you'll be healthier, I promise you. Anyway, when we have things upside down like that, and Jesus is not the head anymore, if he's not the tip top, if he is not the priority, if he's not the most important thing, then you know what happens? Everything else is messed up after that. All of the priorities are jacked up after that. And our life becomes very difficult to try to finagle into a place of blessing. But you know, when we're with Jesus and we're doing what Jesus wants, here's the key for you today. This is a pro tip on living the Christian life. When you do what Jesus wants you to do, you never, not even once, have to ask God to bless it. Amen. You know why? Because everything that Jesus does is blessed. It's already blessed. It's like a pre-blessed TV dinner. You don't even have to bless it. You just eat it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but I bless my food when I'm cooking it so that I can eat it when it's done. It's like pre-blessed. But when we do our own plans and when we do our own designs and we do our own thing and then we're like, oh, Jesus, by the way, I'm going to do this. Would you bless it? Then you got to hope to God that he's going to bless it. And then so many people, God doesn't bless it, and then they get mad at God for not blessing it. But why didn't you just do what God wanted you to do? Then it would have been blessed, and you didn't even have to ask, and then you would have the blessing. Yeah. Is this too complicated? I hope not, because this pretty simple stuff. Do what God wants you to do. It's going to be blessed. Amen. That's the bottom line of it all. So we got to get our priorities in order, that our purpose, every one of us, is to seek and to save that which is lost. How we go about doing that, sky's the limit. Some of you, it's going to be through business and reaping the harvest in the business field. Some of you, it's going to be through relationships. Some of you, it's going to be just in your community. Some of you, your life is going to do such a 180 that people are going to be like, what happened to you? And you know, like when somebody was fat and then they're skinny and people are like, what did you do? What did you do? Same thing that everybody else does, diet and exercise. Yeah. How did you do it? How did you change your life? Diet and exercise. It's Jesus. It's eating the word of God, and it's doing what he wants you to do. Diet and exercise, it changes everything. Yeah. I want to give you this last scripture today, and I'm going to close, and I know I'm a few minutes over time. I hope that you've been challenged today in a good way. I hope you know that I'm not condemning what it is that you're doing. I'm just telling you what you're all about. And if you would take this word and if you would run with it, you, my friend, would be so fulfilled in your life that it's not even going to matter what you're doing. Paul said it this way, in everything I have found the secret of contentment. He said, I know how to be rich. I know how to be poor. I know how to have everything I need, and I know how to suffer want. And in all things, I've found the secret of contentment. You know what the secret of contentment is? Fulfilling your purpose. And what is that purpose? To seek and to save that which is lost. Do it not, and you will find that you are always having a desire to be fulfilled. I'm telling you how you can be fulfilled in your life. Let me give you this one last scripture, because some people are like, I know that you're thinking, well, Pastor Jake, that's all sounds all fine and good, but you know, I got to look out for rule number one. Like, I got to make sure I have enough money. I got to make sure that I do this. I got to make sure I do that. I got to put food on the table. I got to advance my family and my heritage, because the Bible says that if you don't leave an inheritance for your children and your children's children, then you're worse than an unbeliever. I got to do that work. Absolutely. But the way we do it is so different, because we do it by doing things God's way. Anyway, listen to the scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. And you're going to be so tempted to not believe this scripture. You're going to be so tempted to put it into a spiritual realm when it's not spiritual at all. It's absolutely physical and practical, but you have to believe it. Believe it not, and you'll continue doing it your own way. Listen to the scripture. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry. Stop right there. Full stop. So many people worried. I mean, when we're saying, yeah, but I got to make a living. You know what that is? Worry. Yeah, but what about the results of the election? Worry. Yeah, but I got to worry. do not worry. I mean, that's a six-year-old sermon right there. Do not worry. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, can we just respond to God like that? If that's all you get out of today, then take that and run with it, because your life will be so much happier. Do not worry. God's in control, man. Especially if you give him control, he's in control. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. In other words, people that are not part of God's family. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Full stop. Does God know or does God not know? He knows. Does God care or does God not care? He cares. In fact, the Bible says he cares for you. I mean, it just couldn't be any clearer that God is like, let me handle it. Don't worry, let me handle it. Don't worry, let me handle it. But so many of us have become distrusting of people that we project that onto God and we don't trust God. You're either going to trust him or you're not. And I choose to trust him. That's why I don't worry. Do not worry. I know that you have need of all these things. What does he know that you have need of? Food, clothing, water, whatever else it is that you need for life. No, maybe you don't need another Louis Vuitton handbag. You might want one. And all the women say amen. And all the guys say, nah, I'd rather have a wallet. You know what I mean? But he knows what you have need of. Listen, verse 33. And then he said, I know you need all these things, but. See, I'm telling you, I like big buts and I cannot lie. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, what things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. All the things that the Gentiles seek, all these things shall be added to you. You're either going to believe it or you're not. I choose to believe the word of the Lord. It says for that reason, because all these things are going to be added to you, all these things that the Gentiles want, all these things that not only do they want, but they seek after, that they chase after, they run after. It's like trying to grasp the wind sometimes. But what about when the wind comes and grabs you? Jesus said that the blessing of God is going to overtake you. That means it's going to run you over from behind. That means you're not fast enough to outrun the blessing of God. It's coming after you. He says this, all these things will be added to you. Therefore, in other words, for this reason, because all these things will be added to you that all the Gentiles are seeking, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. My friend, Jesus knows the plans that he has for you to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and an expected end. But if I can say this in the gentlest, most loving, but strongest way possible, we must quit doing our own thing and defining our own purpose and do his purpose. Amen. Seek and save that which was lost. Everything else matters not. Everything else is inconsequential. Everything else is just what you're doing. It's not who you are. You exist to seek and to save that which was lost. And when you do that, God will bless the socks off of you. Just one thing. I'm going to leave you with this, just this one thing. And then I'm going to offer salvation to anyone who's never met this Jesus Christ that I've been talking about today, who wants to change your purpose and help you so you don't have to chase after all those things, but those things will be added to you when you do what he wants you to do. Just one thing. Here's the one thing I want you to hold on to. The only way to live our best life is to fulfill our purpose. How do you do that? Whatever you do this week, and every week, by the way, do it to seek and to save the lost. You know, that's Jesus' heart, is to seek and to save the lost. When you do what he wants you to do, when you do what he's doing, you'll always be with him. You'll never be separated from him. You'll always be blessed. You'll always have what you need, having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, having more than you need. God's grace is sufficient for you. Today, I hope that I have wrecked your world in the best way possible. I hope that I've challenged you to look at your purpose statement. I hope that I've challenged you to understand that you have one purpose on this earth, and that is to seek and to save that which was lost. If you've not met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have one purpose in your life for right now. You know what that purpose is? It's to get found by Jesus Christ. He's coming after you, and just like a sheep that's lost and you might be crying out in the middle of the night, God, I need to be found, I need to be found. He's looking for you right now. And I want to tell you that your job right now is to get saved, to become part of God's family, and God is going to change your purpose so that you become that one person that needed saving, needed finding, into the person that's seeking and saving that which was lost. Today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this Jesus that has radically changed my life and that I'll worship him forever, the reason why I give into the Evangelism Fund, the reason why we do everything that we do to seek and to save the lost, I want to introduce you to him. The Bible says that to become part of his family, to become part of his body, to inherit that same purpose, that same plan, that same destiny, all you have to do is two very simple things. The first thing is, you have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That'll mean that you believe that Jesus died for you. He died for your sins so that you could live a holy, sinless, blameless life. The second thing is that you need to believe and you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. What does that mean? That means he's going to go wherever he goes and you're going to follow him because he's the head. He's the boss, he's the Lord, and you're doing what he wants you to do. And all these things will be added to you. Am I promising you wealth and riches and all the... No, I'm not promising you that. I'm promising you that you will be fulfilled. I'm promising you that you will have righteousness. I'm promising you that you'll have peace. I'm promising you that you will have joy. Why? Because that is the kingdom of God, and it'll come to live in your very life. Today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you've been out there doing your own thing, but you need to come back in line and you need to change your priorities to put Jesus back at the head of your life, today is your day. I want to pray with you. And it's not a prayer that saves you. It's believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. So if you would, I hope that every one of us will pray this prayer with me today. If you need to do this and do business with Jesus in your heart, I mean it. In your heart, by the end of these next few seconds, you'll be born again. You'll be part of God's family. You'll inherit the promises of God, and you'll have the purposes of God upon your life to seek and to save the lost, no matter what it is that you do. I hope that you'll pray this with me. Would you bow your heads and bow your hearts with me? And if you mean it in your heart to the Lord, he means it with you, and you'll be born again by the end of this prayer. Don't pray it to me. Pray it to the Lord. Here we go. Let's pray. Would you just repeat after me and mean it in your heart if you need to? Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that he died for my sins and that he took my place on the cross. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. I want to confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life, that he is my boss, that I'm giving him the lead, and wherever he goes, I'm going to follow. I give him control now. Because of these things, I know that I am now saved. I am part of God's family, and I have a purpose from heaven. Thank you for saving me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today and you meant it in your heart, I can assure you that you are now saved. You are part of God's family. You're rescued from the end of sin, which is death. And you have had a destiny that's assured in heaven above. But it ain't over yet. That's why you're still going to be on this planet, even a moment from now. You have a job to do. I have a job to do, and it's all the same. I'm walking through it with you to seek and to save that which was lost. If you are a prodigal, if you are someone that was out there doing your own thing and you came home to Jesus today, I am so pumped that you made that decision to come back home to Jesus and to give him first place and priority in your life again. We want to ask you if you would do this for us. If you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time today, or if you came back home and you recommitted your life to Jesus and put him back in that priority seat in your life, would you please drop us a comment in the comment stream on YouTube or on Facebook Live? Or would you message us? Would you email us? Would you call us? Would you please let us know that you did that? First thing is we want to party with the party that is going on in heaven right now, a ruckus party over the fact that you gave your life to Jesus Christ and came back home. The second thing we want to do is we want to send you a valuable gift that you're absolutely going to love. And we want to send you a brand new Bible and tell you how you can take your next step in Jesus Christ, because you never start a journey without taking the first step. So we invite you to come back and join us again next week at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time, right here on this same Facebook and YouTube channel. Join us for the word of the Lord and to be blessed by live praise, live worship, and a group of people that absolutely are desperately in love with who you are and who God made you to be. We invite you to come and join us on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time for prayer and communion. It's a great time, just a half an hour of prayer and then communion with people from all over the world. We invite you to join us. We love you right where you're at, and we look forward to journeying through this life with you, as all of us work together to seek and to save that which was lost. We love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Have an amazing rest of your Sunday.